This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to a 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
We're going to set the stage here for a Ross Tucker clip. Ross joined us at 4 on the leash that Joe Flacco has. I'm not saying that if he loses week one, Joe's not going to play against Baltimore. But I think what Joe has to maybe avoid more than anybody on that roster is letting the clock start to tick on when Dylan Gabriel is going to be thrust into the starting job. And I really don't think you can put a timetable on it because it's built on two things, in some ebb and flow of these two things. Did you win or not? And did Joe throw more touchdowns than interceptions or not? Winning week one starts to delay that conversation. Every time you can stay one win ahead of one loss, you have a chance to elongate that window and take it from maybe 4 weeks to maybe 8 weeks or, who knows, 17, 18 weeks.
Winning week one is obviously massive. I think it's really interesting. Mary Kay had the report about the Browns will go to Dylan Gabriel, and they're not going to be scared to go to Gabriel. And it almost kind of sounded like they were excited about the idea of going to Dylan Gabriel. And then we had Ashley on, and Ashley was talking about if not for the London game, she'd be thinking early week three, week four potentially. And then Ross was on, and he had an early timetable. I just think it's really interesting that so many of the people now we've talked to, and this is all 24-hour stretch here, have now moved it to a very, very quick leash with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, like previously, it's weird when I say the media, I mean like when the media is this far ahead of the fans on stuff like this. I think it needs to be pointed out for just the sake of posterity. It's really, really rare that a team goes into week one with the understanding that in 3 weeks, a third-round rookie might be the starting quarterback. It could be that slippery of a slope for a quarterback. Like, Daniel Jones does not have that slippery of slope in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in fairness, his backup is Anthony Richardson and the Notre Dame kid, Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. Maybe Spencer Rattler does, maybe he doesn't, because I do think they like Tyler Shuck. I still would be surprised if Tyler would have been ready for week four. I think he would have just started week one. I think Joe is on the quickest of quicksand beneath his feet. And so I thought it was interesting. You mentioned Ashley Bastock. You kind of referenced Ross. Here is Ross's take on how long of a leash does Joe Flacco have to start the season.
I would say 4 or 5 games. As long as they're 500 or above, I would think that Flacco would stay in there. But there's a distinct possibility that they're 0-4, 0-5, 0-6. I mean, those things are very, very realistic. I think 2-4 after 6 games would be a heck of an accomplishment. I really do. I would think if the season goes like a lot of people think it might, that we'd probably see Dylan Gabriel in there by week 7 against the Dolphins. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's earlier. I mean, if they're 0-4 and things go really poorly, I wouldn't be shocked if they put him in against the Vikings, although that's over in London. I don't know if they would want to do that, but I would say I think I'd be surprised if Joe didn't start at least the first four games.
So I'm a little torn on this because I do think at some point you got to rip the Band-Aid off and see the rookies. If Joe gets four starts, and the devil's always in the details, you have to use that disclaimer up front.
You got to see how it looks, obviously.
0-4 makes a lot of sense. But if he's 1-3, and if he's not the problem, or if he's not even close to the problem, or if it's just a really tough road to hoe to start the season, if you go to Dylan Gabriel at any point in the first 1.5 quadrants of the season, meaning the first 6 games of the season, it's going to feel like you wanted to start Dylan and you just didn't have the cojones to start him in week one.
That'll be the read on it, yeah. Unless it's 0-4 and Flacco looks like he's really, really bad. If he's somewhat competitive in these games.
Which I expect him to be, by the way.
I do too. Again, even in week one against the Bengals, I don't think the Browns are going to win that game, but this should be the best shot that Joe Flacco has to show us that he still has something.
Yep.
It's not crazy to think that Joe Flacco can have, at least look like a decent NFL quarterback in this stretch, but it's also not crazy to suggest that he gets 4 or 5 games and then the Browns say to themselves, okay, we had enough. Dylan Gabriel, if they want to see Dylan and Shador, that's the other timeline that they have to play up against, where you have to be able to give both quarterbacks enough of an opportunity and timeline, then you have to start this early.
So I also think, again, getting back to the idea of the devil's in the details and how long of a leash does Joe have,
mm-hmm.
If the first sign of trouble, they bench Joe for Dylan, I really think it's going to be Kevin wants to take full reins of his offense and he trusts Dylan Gabriel. And again, it's the idea of if I'm going down swinging with my handpicked quarterback, and it'll pay even more credence into the idea that Joe, to some degree, whether it was with Kenny Pickett, now whether it's with Dylan Gabriel, at some point he was a patsy and he was not set up to succeed. That's not the same as sabotaging, because I'm not trying to enter into the Shador waters all over again.
There's a YouTube graphic. Are the Browns sabotaging Joe Flacco?
And Shador. Just because, clicks.
Well, you got to get the clicks.
But no, I mean, I really do think, how much you let, I don't want to say Joe toil, but how much you let Joe bounce back from a bad performance or a bad half or a bad anything, I think is going to be another strong commentary on really how committed they are to the thing that they've sold everybody on, which is we got to try and win as many games as we can.
So I want to read you just a little bit of this because I think you'll find this interesting. So this was Mary Kay in her article. She's talking about the Browns, and she says the Browns will hand the reins to Gabriel without hesitation. They loved what they saw of Gabriel in camp and preseason games and won't hesitate to start him even if it's early in the season. And so I do think it's interesting to note that if you love Dylan Gabriel this much, This is where I feel like they run into trouble sometimes, as if they're almost trying to appease the locker room and the people in the locker room with, we're going to play Joe Flacco, so you seem like you have a real serious attempt at the season.
Because we made promises to Joe Batonio.
Yeah, and it's you shouldn't care about those guys nearly as much as you do. I understand the relationships attached to it. I get it. But it feels like if they're going to pull Flacco after 3 weeks for Dylan Gabriel because they love Dylan Gabriel, yeah, maybe you should have just started Dylan Gabriel, and you shouldn't have been as worried about what the locker room will think about Joe Flacco.
And listen, I know Dylan looked really nice in that last start, and I want to, I do think, and I think this is a comparison you and I have both made, so it's, I don't want to claim sole ownership of this. It would not surprise me if Kevin saw in Dylan what Kyle Shanahan has in Brock Purdy.
Right.
Of a guy who is physically limited, but then can run his system to a T. And the number one thing that basically gives him a chance is that processing power. I don't think there's anything that he can do, he being Dylan, to be a franchise quarterback. But maybe he could be closer to a league average starter, a la a Purdy, a la a low-end Kirk Cousins. But I there is something that to me would ring disingenuous, and I think this is where it matters. So much of, and we talked about this with Ross as well, where Ross said, kind of blanket statement, I don't really think there's anything they can do to get fired. I think they get stuck on ideas, and they get stuck on the way they want things to happen, and so then they nudge them in the direction of that thing happening. And I think it hurt last year a lot. I think it hurts you in setting Baker back and, oh no, Baker's in control. We're going to let him take the fall for this. I think I think they allow things to play out, but in a way that is advantageous to what they want, on like the border of like rigging things in their favor of what they want. And I think that would be disastrous for this year. If Joe is going to fail, he has to be given every opportunity to fail. If at the first sight of struggle, you pull him for Dylan Gabriel, it doesn't matter that I can see through it. It doesn't matter the fans can see through it. That locker room is going to see through it. And the number one with a bullet, the easiest way for Kevin Stefanski to end up somebody's offensive coordinator next year is if he does something, and as you pointed out, and as I'm now pointing out, if the locker room sees through it and feels like he was being disingenuous at any point with any of this, that to me would be the concern, because Kevin doesn't have the rah-rah, rally around him, you know, one of the boys kind of mentality, that if guys start to think that, he's going to reel him back in with his decisions and his bravado.
I just think the shift in how people are speaking in the past couple of days is fascinating, considering
100%.
For the past couple of weeks, it had been, well, they start Joe because they believe in their minds that Joe can get you 17 games, or Joe can be the guy. You wouldn't put him out there week one unless you think he can play all 17. And now, just pay attention, guys. It's past 24, 48 hours, everyone we're talking to is a really short leash.
And
Dylan Gabriel, the chance for week three, week four.
And I think the Browns are super conscientious of PR things and trying to get out ahead of PR spin and PR narratives.
Way too conscientious, I would say.
I would agree 100%, but this is the kind of thing, this is the kind of grassroots movement that you put out there so that if you don't expect to be that good, if you're expecting Joe to maybe fail, this would kind of be what you did before you threw him out there in week one, or certainly in the first 6 weeks, which looked like it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, I'm now starting to feel a little bad for Joe in this whole endeavor. Like, if Joe gets three or four games against the Bengals, the Ravens, the Packers, just let's start off with those three. Those are all three playoff teams, more likely than not. Obviously, the Bengals didn't make it last year, but it's Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, you're just done now.
It's real tough. You know, I don't get into a lot of fare here, and I think it would be easy to be cynical and say, well, he's made a lot of money in his career. You know, he's not quite a Hall of Famer, but he's got a place in the game. He's a champion in Baltimore, this, that. And I think it's really easy to be like, I don't feel bad for Joe. I would. I think Joe should have earned our respect, and he certainly earned my respect in who he is as a person and who he, how he's conducted himself in this town, that if this was all for show, I would lose a lot of respect. If I feel that way 4 weeks from now, I think I'm going to lose a lot of personal respect for people who, although I don't think I have a lot of professional respect for, and the same way other people in the media do, I have a lot of personal respect for. I don't want to be the organization that treats guys like that, no matter whether Joe won the Super Bowl here or whether he's been a guy that had five great games 2 years ago.
The other part of this is that it's not like if Shador was the backup, you'd hear a lot of people clamoring for Shador because they just want to see Shador. No one's doing that with Dylan Gabriel. That's not the case. Everyone's like, okay, if you like Dylan and he has to take his time, people seem to be pretty all right with it.
Yeah, I do think that'll change very quickly. Just the old axiom of...
Well, the backup quarterback is typically the most popular person in town. Yeah. Vice president's always more popular. This is how this works typically. But I mean, he changed his number a couple days ago. They announced he changed his number. Not a single person was like, oh, now I got to return my old Dylan Gabriel uniform. You know what I mean? Like,
they were waiting on that.
There was no outcry.
We don't know what happened with Chinese eBay.
Oh, no, I bought the wrong Dylan Gabriel jersey. No one did that.
How long of a leash does Joe Flacco have? The devil's in the details. The Browns have to do this right. And yes, on some level, they have to do it right by Joe Flacco. And it is being called a slight by Joe Montana. Is it just a big omission? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We're going to set the stage here for a Ross Tucker clip. Ross joined us at 4 on the leash that Joe Flacco has. I'm not saying that if he loses week one, Joe's not going to play against Baltimore. But I think what Joe has to maybe avoid more than anybody on that roster is letting the clock start to tick on when Dylan Gabriel is going to be thrust into the starting job. And I really don't think you can put a timetable on it, because it's built on two things, in some ebb and flow of these two things. Did you win or not? And did Joe throw more touchdowns than interceptions or not? Winning week one starts to delay that conversation. Every time you can stay one win ahead of one loss, you have a chance to elongate that window and take it from maybe 4 weeks to maybe 8 weeks or, who knows, 17, 18 weeks.
Winning week one is obviously massive. I think it's really interesting. Mary Kay had the report about the Browns will go to Dylan Gabriel, and they're not going to be scared to go to Gabriel. And it almost kind of sounded like they were excited about the idea of going to Dylan Gabriel. And then we had Ashley on, and Ashley was talking about if not for the London game, she'd be thinking early week three, week four potentially. And then Ross was on, and he had an early timetable. I just think it's really interesting that so many of the people now we've talked to, and this is all 24-hour stretch here.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Here have now moved it to a very, very quick leash with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, like previously, it's weird when I say the media, I mean like when the media is this far ahead of the fans on stuff like this. I think it needs to be pointed out for just the sake of posterity. It's really, really rare that a team goes into week one with the understanding that in 3 weeks, a third round rookie might be the starting quarterback. It could be that slippery of a slope for a quarterback. Like, Daniel Jones does not have that slippery of slope in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in fairness, his backup is Anthony Richardson and the Notre Dame kid, Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. Maybe Spencer Rattler does, maybe he doesn't, because I do think they like Tyler Shuck. I still would be surprised if Tyler would have been ready for week four. I think he would have just started week one. I think Joe is on the quickest of quicksand beneath his feet. And so I thought it was interesting. You mentioned Ashley Bastock. You kind of referenced Ross. Here was Ross's take on how long of a leash does Joe Flacco have to start the season.
I would say 4 or 5 games. As long as they're 500 or above, I would think that Flacco would stay in there. But there's a distinct possibility that they're 0-4, 0-5, 0-6. I mean, those things are very, very realistic. I think 2-4 after 6 games would be a heck of an accomplishment. I really do. I would think if the season goes like a lot of people think it might, that we'd probably see Dylan Gabriel in there by week 7 against the Dolphins. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's earlier. I mean, if they're 0-4 and things go really poorly, I wouldn't be shocked if they put him in against the Vikings, although that's over in London. I don't know if they would want to do that, but I would say I think I'd be surprised if Joe didn't start at least the first 4 games.
So I'm a little torn on this because I do think at some point you got to rip the Band-Aid off and see the rookies. If Joe gets four starts, and the devil's always in the details, you have to use that disclaimer up front.
You got to see how it looks, obviously.
0-4 makes a lot of sense. But if he's 1-3, and if he's not the problem, or if he's not even close to the problem, or if it's just a really tough road to hoe to start the season, if you go to Dylan Gabriel at any point in the first 1.5 quadrants of the season, meaning the first 6 games of the season, it's going to feel like you wanted to start Dylan and you just didn't have the cojones to start him in week one.
That'll be the read on it, yeah. Unless it's 0-4 and Flacco looks like he's really, really bad. If he's somewhat competitive in these games.
Which I expect him to be, by the way.
I do too. Again, even in week one against the Bengals, I don't think the Browns are going to win that game, but this should be the best shot that Joe Flacco has to show us that he still has something.
Yep.
It's not crazy to think that Joe Flacco can have, at least look like a decent NFL quarterback in this stretch, but it's also not crazy to suggest that he gets 4 or 5 games and then the Browns say to themselves, okay, we had enough. Dylan Gabriel, if they want to see Dylan and Shador, that's the other timeline that they have to play up against, where you have to be able to give both quarterbacks enough of an opportunity and timeline, then you have to start this early.
So I also think, again, getting back to the idea of the devil's in the details and how long of a leash does Joe have,
mm-hmm.
If the first sign of trouble, they bench Joe for Dylan, I really think it's going to be Kevin wants to take full reins of his offense and he trusts Dylan Gabriel. And again, it's the idea of if I'm going down, I'm going down swinging with my handpicked quarterback, and it'll pay even more credence into the idea that Joe, to some degree, whether it was with Kenny Pickett, now whether it's with Dylan Gabriel, at some point he was a patsy and he was not set up to succeed. That's not the same as sabotaging, because I'm not trying to enter into the Shador waters all over again.
There's a YouTube graphic. Are the Browns sabotaging Joe Flacco?
And Shador. Just because, clicks.
Well, you got to get the clicks.
Got to get the clicks. But no, I really do think, how much you let, I don't want to say Joe toil, but how much you let Joe bounce back from a bad performance or a bad half or a bad anything, I think is going to be another strong commentary on really how committed they are to the thing that they've sold everybody on, which is we got to try and win as many games as we can.
So I want to read you just a little bit of this because I think you'll find this interesting. So this was Mary Kay in her article. She's talking about the Browns, and she says the Browns will hand the reins to Gabriel without hesitation. They loved what they saw of Gabriel in camp and preseason games and won't hesitate to start him even if it's early in the season. And so I do think it's interesting to note that if you love Dylan Gabriel this much, This is where I feel like they run into trouble sometimes, as if they're almost trying to appease the locker room and the people in the locker room with, we're going to play Joe Flacco, so you seem like you have a real serious attempt at the season.
Because we made promises to Joe Batonio.
Yeah.
And it's
you shouldn't care about those guys nearly as much as you do. I understand the relationships attached to it. I get it. But it feels like if they're going to pull Flacco after 3 weeks for Dylan Gabriel because they love Dylan Gabriel, yeah, maybe you should have just started Dylan Gabriel and shouldn't have been as worried about what the locker room will think about Joe Flacco.
And listen, I know Dylan looked really nice in that last start. And I think this is a comparison you and I both made. So I don't want to claim sole ownership of this. It would not surprise me if Kevin saw in Dylan what Kyle Shanahan has in Brock Purdy.
Right.
Of a guy who is physically limited, but then can run his system to a T, and the number one thing that basically gives him a chance is that processing power. I don't think there's anything that he can do, he being Dylan, to be a franchise quarterback, but maybe he could be closer to a league average starter, a la a Purdy, a la a low-end Kirk Cousins. But I there is something that to me would ring disingenuous, and I think this is where it matters. So much of, and we talked about this with Ross as well, where Ross said, kind of blanket statement, I don't really think there's anything they can do to get fired. I think they get stuck on ideas, and they get stuck on the way they want things to happen, and so then they nudge them in the direction of that thing happening. And I think it hurt last year a lot. I think it hurts you in setting Baker back and, oh no, Baker's in control. We're going to let him take the fall for this. I think they allow things to play out, but in a way that is advantageous to what they want, on like the border of like rigging things in their favor of what they want. And I think that would be disastrous for this year. if Joe is going to fail, he has to be given every opportunity to fail. If at the first sight of struggle, you pull him for Dylan Gabriel, it doesn't matter that I can see through it. It doesn't matter the fans can see through it. That locker room is going to see through it. And the number one with a bullet, the easiest way for Kevin Stefanski to end up somebody's offensive coordinator next year is if he does something, and as you pointed out, and as I'm now pointing out, if the locker room sees through it and feels like he was being disingenuous at any point with any of this, that to me would be the concern, because Kevin doesn't have the rah-rah, rally around him, you know, one of the boys kind of mentality that if guys start to think that, he's going to reel him back in with his decisions and his bravado.
I just think the shift in how people are speaking in the past couple of days is fascinating, considering
100%.
For the past couple of weeks, it had been, well, they start Joe because they believe in their minds that Joe can get you 17 games or Joe can be the guy. You wouldn't put him out there week one unless you think he can play all 17. And now, just pay attention, guys. It's past 24, 48 hours, everyone we're talking to is a really short leash.
And
Dylan Gabriel, the chance for week three, week four.
And I think the Browns are super conscientious of PR things and trying to get out ahead of PR spin and PR narratives.
Way too conscientious, I would say.
I would agree 100%, but this is the kind of thing, this is the kind of grassroots movement that you put out there so that if you don't expect to be that good, if you're expecting Joe to maybe fail, this would kind of be what you did before you threw him out there in week one, or certainly in the first 6 weeks, which looked like it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, I'm now starting to feel a little bad for Joe in this whole endeavor. Like, if Joe gets three or four games against the Bengals, the Ravens, the Packers, just let's start off with those three. Those are all three playoff teams, more likely than not. Obviously, the Bengals didn't make it last year, but it's Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, and it's like, oh yeah, no, you're just done now.
That's
real tough.
You know, I don't get into a lot of fare here, and I think it would be easy to be cynical and say, well, he's made a lot of money in his career. You know, he's not quite a Hall of Famer, but he's got a place in the game. He's a champion in Baltimore, this, that. And I think it's really easy to be like, nah, I don't feel bad for Joe. I would. I think Joe should have earned our respect, and he certainly earned my respect in who he is as a person and who he how he's conducted himself in this town, that if this was all for show, I would lose a lot of respect. If I feel that way 4 weeks from now, I think I'm going to lose a lot of personal respect for people who, although I don't think I have a lot of professional respect for, and the same way other people in the media do, I have a lot of personal respect for. I don't want to be the organization that treats guys like that, no matter whether Joe won the Super Bowl here or whether he's been a guy that had five great games 2 years ago.
The other part of this is that it's not like if Shador was the backup, you'd hear a lot of people clamoring for Shador because they just want to see Shador. No one's doing that with Dylan Gabriel. That's not the case. Everyone's like, okay, if you like Dylan and he has to take his time, people seem to be pretty all right with it.
Yeah, I do think that'll change very quickly. Just the old axiom of...
Well, the backup quarterback is typically the most popular person in town.
Yeah.
Vice president's always more popular. This is how this works typically. But I mean, he changed his number a couple days ago. They announced he changed his number. Not a single person was like, oh, now I got to return my old Dylan Gabriel uniform. You know what I mean? Like,
they were waiting on that.
There was no outcry.
We don't know what happened with Chinese eBay.
Oh, no, I bought the wrong Dylan Gabriel jersey. No one did that.
How long of a leash does Joe Flacco have? The devil's in the details. The Browns have to do this right. And yes, on some level, they have to do it right by Joe Flacco. And it is being called a slight by Joe Montana. Is it just a big omission? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.